Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average in the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
We want to thank Fast Track Steel Buildings for sponsoring Generations Today. If your church or school is looking to expand, call Fast Track at 303-797-0991. They have buildings perfect for churches, gymnasiums, agricultural barns, riding arenas, and more. Call for a free brochure, 303-797-0991, and get your project started on the right track with Fast Track. 303-797-0991.
Warning, this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Good evening. Welcome to Generations. My name is Dave Buhner. No, I am not Kevin Swanson. Kevin Swanson is in New Mexico this week with Team Pack Survival. What is Team Pack Survival? Well, Team Pack Survival is a program that trains teens, mostly of homeschooled families, to stand in the gates of the civil magistrate, to take dominion in the area of the government, and to once again exercise the jurisdictions that God has created in terms of the civil magistrate, the church, and the family. I think that our forefathers would applaud this work. When they wrote the First Amendment, they understood something as a historical context that was fresh on their mind. Out of the 14th and 15th centuries, they saw that the Roman Church in Europe had basically become the civil magistrate, that they had become so powerful that the emperor and the kings of the lands would bow down to the authority of the church. And they didn't think that was right. But they also had 17th century England on their minds, and they saw where England, the kings of England, had taken over the church, and they had become an ecclesiastical authority. And they knew that was wrong. So they erected a wall of separation between the ecclesiastical church and the state. Now, the forefathers would have understood this, that every square inch of territory in this world belongs to God. They saw that God was king over all things, the civil magistrate, the family, the church, art. It didn't matter what it was. Nowhere in the world could you find a little piece of land, a little idea, and say, this doesn't belong to God. This was the mindset of our forefathers. But they had a wall of separation between the jurisdiction of the church and the jurisdiction of the state. And so they erected this wall of separation, to quote Thomas Jefferson, between the church and the state. I believe if they had been around today, they would have seen that there was yet another wall that needed to be created to keep government within jurisdiction. Of course, they would be very upset about the wall between the church and the state, the way it's practiced now, the way the courts have interpreted it. But they would also have rewritten the First Amendment to include a wall of separation between the family and the state. Between the family and the state, because the state has once again spilled over its jurisdictional walls and invaded the jurisdiction of the family. We see this through the use of social services, public schools. When a state tells you how you can train your child, what you should train your child, when the state comes out and suggests things like, and I'm pretty sure soon we'll have laws about this, that sending your child to church is some kind of psychological mistreatment, why it's unfair to expose them only to one of the gods. How will they have a full education unless they learn all the other gods as well? And so I think our forefathers would have created a wall of separation between the family and the state. And there probably would have been a two-way wall, that the families could not rule the states. That was what a European monarchy looked like. And the state could not rule over the families. And my guess is that social services, at least in its current form, would have been deemed unconstitutional. But our forefathers did not see that threat. They did not anticipate that threat. How could they? It was unthinkable at the time that the state would impinge upon the rights, the responsibilities, and the duties of a family. But here we sit today, and they have. And because we don't have any amendment protecting us from the state, our families, that is, we need rulers who will fight to keep the state within bounds, within its jurisdictional boundaries, that we will not give up any territory. In fact, we will declare all territory for Christ Jesus. And that's what Kevin's doing right now, training up young men and women just for that task. And we applaud those efforts, and we pray for their success. Ladies and gentlemen, today on Generations, we want to address an unhappy topic, because there's a threat. There's a threat to your family, to your soul, and to your children. And the threat is bigger than I can even express. Question, does a fish know he's wet? Well, most fish don't know they're wet. All they know is wetness. They swim in the water all the day long because they don't know what dry is. I'm going to ask this question today. Does even a Christian know what is beautiful? Or is a Christian swimming in so much ugliness, just like the fish who's swimming in his wetness? He doesn't know what dry is, and we don't know what beautiful is. We're going to talk about the threat against goodness, truth, and beauty when we get right back, right here on Generations.
Ladies and gentlemen, I like no-hassle car buying. It's very simple. Here's how it works. Visit McKinneyMotors.com, M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y, Motors.com. Click on Contact. Tell them what you want, your price range, and a contact number, and Jeff will go to work for you. He's been in the car business for 20 years. He knows cars. He handles any car, new or used. He'll get the best car for you with the best service at your price at Jeff McKinney Motors. That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month. Yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.
Welcome back to Generations. My name is Dave Buhner. I'm standing behind the microphone here for Kevin Swanson this week, who is out training young men and women to protect family, faith, and freedom against an onslaught of wickedness, ugliness, and statism. Well, we want to talk about goodness, truth, and beauty. And I said there is a threat against goodness, truth, and beauty. Let's talk about one premeditated attack on that. Now, I know this is going to sound a little bit like black helicopter stuff, and I don't mean for it to, but I want you to understand that we have an enemy who is dedicated, patient, relentless against all things that are godly. And one of his strategies is to take apart goodness, truth, and beauty. And to illustrate that, I want to look to what is normally called a social threat or a government threat. But the strategy used by these people is predominantly to destroy goodness, truth, and beauty. One of the most influential men on our college campuses, and certainly amongst the cultural elite, is a man named Eric Fromm. Eric Fromm despised the idea, like in cartoons, where the good guys wore the white hat and the bad guys wore the black hat, as if good and evil could be that easily defined. And so he tried to define, or redefine, good and bad. And I want you to listen to what Eric Fromm, one of the most influential men on college campuses, at least to the professors and to those who are in control of the cultural elite, this is what he said about good guys and bad guys. Quote, "The bad guys are the Christians. And the good guys are those who make war against the ties of blood, soil, mother, father, and religion." End quote. We can see this in the media every day. Every single day we see it's the Christians are the bad guys. They blow up abortion clinics after all. They're against you having a good time in the back seat of your car. Yeah, it's that right-wing moral majority. They're the bad guys. Those who love America are considered rednecks, backwards. And so Eric Fromm, as succinctly as I've ever seen it put, states the philosophy of the cultural terrorists, those who purposely attack goodness, truth, and beauty by trying to redefine them. I want to go back a century to a man who influenced Eric Fromm. In fact, maybe the most influential man on our college campuses, more influential than Eric Fromm, is a man named Karl Marx. Now, we've all heard of Karl Marx. We know him as the father of communist thought. Karl Marx was actually raised in a Christian home. And if you had seen him about age 17 years old or so, in his late middle teens, you would have thought that this was an exemplary Christian young man with great character and a good understanding of the Bible. But something happened about 18 years age. He turned from his Christian roots, and he turned rather violently, and he became a Satan worshiper. I bet you didn't read that in your textbooks. And by age 19, he was so dedicated to the worship of Satan that he was writing poems to Satan. I'm going to read you one, not because I think it's beautiful poetry, for it is certainly not that, but I want you to understand that this attack on goodness, truth, and beauty has roots far, far beyond Hollywood. This is Karl Marx, and I quote, "Soon I shall embrace eternity to my breast. Soon I shall hail gigantic curses on mankind. If there is something which devours, I will leap within, though I bring the world to ruins. The world which bulks between me and the abyss, I will smash to pieces with my enduring curses. Behold this sword. The Prince of Darkness sold it to me. For he beats the time and gives the signs, and evermore boldly I play the dance of death." Unquote. Karl Marx, it seems, may have made a deal with the devil that he would have an influence through generations, through eternity, and that he would be able to curse eternity the same way that Balaam did. You remember Balaam? He was asked to curse the Israelites. And God, using his donkey, told him he couldn't do that. And so he did something almost as destructive. He created a scheme whereby he would send the daughters of Canaan to seduce the sons of Israel, and they would intermarry them. They would turn to idolatry. And like Balaam, Karl Marx set out on a plan to destroy the children of God. And he gives credit where credit is due. He says that his sword was sold to him by the Prince of Darkness. His real intent was not to create an egalitarian society, was not merely to redistribute wealth, was not merely to destroy classes. It was to destroy Christendom. He so hated the things of Christ that he dedicated his life to a strategy that would destroy God's economics, that would destroy God's truth, that would destroy goodness and beauty as God defined it. Karl Marx's most famous student was V.I. Lenin. Guy Lenin, of course, was the man who successfully led the revolt in Russia and gave us the Soviet Union. And V.I. Lenin, after he had taken over Russia, had the Red Army on the march. Of course, they wanted world conquest. And they sent their armies into places like Hungary. The revolution in Hungary failed under Lenin. And the man who was in charge of that effort was known in the Communist Army as Agent Number One. And that's what he was known as for a long time. We now know his name is George Lukács. And he barely escaped Hungary with his life. And he says that the reason the revolution failed in Hungary was because Christian parents arose when they tried to teach sex ed to their children. Isn't that amazing? The communist government tried to bring the curse of Balaam, sex ed, to the children, and it was the Christians who said no, and they chased the communists out. V.I. Lenin brought all his agents back to Russia, and they created a think tank to try and figure out what the new strategy was. How would they adopt their war strategy to what they now perceived as the number one obstacle, which was Christendom? And Lukács suggested a plan of non-violent overthrow to destabilize a society in order to show the Christians that God had abandoned them. And when society became destabilized enough, they would turn away from God and they would turn to the state as God. His number one weapon was to use mass psychology, particularly in the media. He said the media was the doomsday machine to destroy a society from within. He was referring particularly to the cinema. The cinema, they saw, was the most powerful tool because it would address the cultural aesthetics, the things of goodness, truth, and beauty in a society. And that if they overtook the media, the cinema, there would be no possibility of resistance. And so they met and they gathered a two-pronged plan. They were going to fight on two fronts. They were to place their resources in the front of the cinema, which they internally called the sensuality cartel. And the second front, which was known as the illiteracy cartel, was in public education, the public schools. They engaged in psychological warfare with a generational vision. They set out to destroy the memory of the histories of the past, to sever sons from their fathers, to redefine what is good, to redefine what is true, and to redefine ugliness as beauty to destabilize a society. And I ask you today, I ask you, turn on MTV for 10 seconds. Walk through your local shopping mall. Have they succeeded? Do we now call that which is ugly beautiful? I'm not sure God calls that beauty, though, because beauty is in holiness, and there is holiness in beauty. And Christian art that we see today far too often just copies a pagan culture. It copies those who are trying to make good bad and bad good, make beauty ugly and ugly beauty. Christian art copies, and doesn't do a very good job, by the way, copies the ugliness of society. Have you seen Christian music videos where there's young, defiant, dishonoring of their parents, young men and women who are there looking as if they could have been on MTV, unkempt hair, men with long hair, girls with short hair, tattoos, piercings, slashings, angry music, music that is random. It is not the beauty of holiness, but rather it is just like Michelangelo's David. It is taking a very pagan element, putting a biblical name under it, and somehow they're baptizing it and making it palatable to the Christian community. Goodness, truth, and beauty are under attack. Sure, the communists, they decided to do it on purpose, and they took over the institutions of Hollywood and the school. But where is the church? Ladies and gentlemen, our greatest evangelical strategy to reach the nations, to disciple the nations, to disciple our neighbors, is to rediscover biblical beauty. Because the world doesn't know what beauty is. But if they see it, they'll be drawn to it. My name's Dave Buhner. We'll be right back.
People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a two-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members at Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School in Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.
This is Kevin Swanson. Let me tell you, I'm planning to use National Driver Training Institute's program for my son Daniel because parent-directed driver education has proven to be the most effective training process in the United States. This program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is approved in Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, and many other states. Your teenager can start the process at 15 years old and receive his license by 16. This course is recognized by every insurance company in Colorado and approved for home study by the state of Colorado. Programs start at just under $100, and you will have everything you need to create a safe driver for life. Call National Driver Training Institute at 800-942-2050. That's 800-942-2050. Or visit them on the web at nationaldrivertraining.com. Let them know you heard about it right here on Generations.
We're back at Generations. My name is Dave Buhner. Kevin Swanson is gone for the week. He's out there training young men and women to stand in the civil magistrate, keep it within its jurisdictional boundaries, and to bring goodness, truth, and beauty back to culture. And that's been our topic tonight, ladies and gentlemen, an attack on goodness, truth, and beauty. Attack that has been focused premeditatedly by some communists and some other cultural elites who want to see Christendom destroyed. People like Eric Fromm who say that Christians are the bad guys. But we don't have to go that far because not everybody is a cultural elite. Some just follow the drummer. And I say to you, it's people like Eric Fromm who are creating the drum beat. They're following in the footsteps of people like Karl Marx. So what are we going to do? A fish doesn't know he's wet. We don't know that we're swimming in a world of untruth, of ugliness, of unrighteousness. How do we get back to goodness, truth, and beauty? Well, I think the first thing that we have to do is we have to see it in the person of God. There is the beauty of holiness. There's also the holiness of beauty. All beauty is in a reflection of God. It's wrong that somehow or other by rejecting the world's concept of beauty, that we have then stumbled into the holiness of beauty, for we're likely to fall into another ditch. And we've seen this many times if some have decided that they're going to throw off all things that appeal to the senses. They're going to worship a God in an austere and Spartan manner, and somehow or other think because they have despised their bodies, because they have despised the physical world, they somehow or other have stumbled into holiness. And yet they despise the beauty of holiness, because God created the world beautiful. The flowers of the field have many, many colors. God created the world with many textures, food with wonderful smells and tastes. And he did it that we might enjoy his goodness and his beauty. If we're going to live lives that glorify God, if we're going to enjoy him in our lives forever, we have to seek out true beauty. That's my exhortation to you. Let's look for beauty, the beauty of holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to pray for your children this day. Pray for their souls. Pray that God would protect them from the ugliness of this world, would keep them pure and holy, that he might use them in great ways. I'm Dave Buhner. This is Generations. Have yourselves a wonderful night.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in, and that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.